I've ever had. And it's the night
there's a night that
I didn't prepare.
You heard we're having refreshments.
Okay, Rabbi Sait, we're going to start on the Halacha 2. It's a Yerodea Sugya. Haroida Paschamo. Okay, he fell off again. He's having some technical difficulties. Haroida Paschamo, for someone removes hot bread from an oven. He puts it on a barrel of truma. So you got a hot bread on top of a barrel of wine. The mayor Iser, mayor holds its saucer, because the bread will show Ave, right? Will absorb some taste from the wine.
From through the barrel?
No, it's an open barrel. It's an open barrel. Rabbi Yehuda Mater, Rabbi Yehuda holds this mutter. He doesn't hold from this thing. We'll call it recha for the person. You know, you've heard of the sugya of recha milsa, recha lav milsa. This might be related to that. Rabbi Yosi Mater b'shal chitim b'yosi b'shal soyim. Very often, Rabbi Yosi is the machria, and he determines a path between the shitas. That it depends. If it's barley, as you know from those of you who cooked cholent before, you put a little water into the barley, into the cholent, and the barley absorbs all the water. So barley has this nature of being shoev, shoavos. It draws the wine into it. But wheat, it would be mutter. See, that he's machalik. Biyasi is machalik.
So if the bread is made of barley, it's a problem.
If it's a barley bread, it's a problem. If it's a whole wheat bread, it's no problem, according to our Biyasi.
Physically take some of the liquid.
It's going to absorb. It's going to absorb the reyach in a way which is significant. Tana sheisiku b'chamayin shel truma. Now, normally you take your ovens and you put wood in there and you light the wood, let it fire for a while until it heats up. The old fashioned ovens, or those of you who go to matzah factories, have seen that as well. They heat up the ovens with wood inside the oven, right? So if you use, instead of wood, you use this cumin of truma. So you have to obviously be talking about that it was a Kohen that did this, because a Yisrael could never do that with truma. I wasn't sure why the Kohen was allowed to do it either, but I couldn't find anybody that talks about it.
Right, he's using it for value.
He's using it for value, but I didn't think you were allowed to burn. I guess if it's something which is sometimes used for firewood, you could designate it as such up front. Okay, it doesn't say anywhere that there's tummy over here.
Cumin doesn't give a smell. It's very expensive.
Yeah, sure. Cumin gives a smell. And you bake bread in the oven. Hapas mutaras. The bread is mutar by non kohanim, right? She ain't tam kamoin el reach kamoin. There's no flavor, but it's the aroma. So this sounds like it's just a light aroma. So in the number 9, he says, in contrast to the flavor above, when we were talking about the wine, of a prohibited substance that renders a permitted food forbidden, mere aroma of a prohibited substance is not a factor. Okay, so though the bread baked in this oven absorbs the aroma of truma cumin, it remains permitted. It's obviously this. It's got to have something to do with the level of how much, right?
The chemistry is somehow different.
I don't know. He says he should see note B. I didn't see it yet, so I'm not going to bother right now. Okay, next, let's go weiter. So we had an incident, and then we asked the following question in front of Rabbi Yanai. Now, this is the case Rabbi Oberstein just mentioned. What if the barrel is sealed? What if there's a cover on top of the barrel? So what would be then?
Just a real quick question. When you compare the barley that absorbs it as compared to the legumes, remember they said it was a different grade, and therefore it was able to. It was a larger size. We had this plot a few days ago.
You had a larger size what? I'm not
listening. The legumes. I forget what it's the lentils.
Yeah, what about it?
The lentils.
What about it?
So I'm just, In other words, you have the same issue with lentils compared with barley. What's unique about barley? Just, what does it mean it absorbs as opposed to it just takes up the taste? What am I missing? Well, that's just the verb, the shavo, what it used.
Let's forget about the lentils. We're just using our normal experience with barley. Barley absorbs a great deal of fluid. That's the nature of it, and therefore it will be shoev the taste. Okay, so they asked him the question: if you put it on the megufas chavas, if you put the bread on the cover of the barrel of the wine instead of over the mouth of an open barrel, what's the law? On my loins, so he replied, Yagid olav reyo. He quoted the pasuk, it's Mishlei, right? No, I'm sorry, it's Job. It's Iyuv. Yagid olav reyo, his fellow tells about him, meaning there's another Mishnah that sheds light upon this. So, Mao Yagid olav reyo, which one is it? Amar b'yaisi, kadol sinu kamon. This one over there, there was there, 13, that's Makshir. So, in the halacha Makshir. So, it says like this. If you have a barrel full of fruit, and then you submerge the barrel underneath a pool of water, let's say, right? You say you're putting it into a pool of water or wine, okay? Oh, shemaleya mashkin, or not that the barrel was full of fruit, but it was full of, let's say, it was full of water or wine. So you have a wine barrel, right? And you place the wine barrel, you insert it into a pile of peiros, you know, or it's on top of it, whatever it is.
It's closed.
We're talking about both cases, it's sealed. You have this capsule. It's either a fruit capsule or it's a water capsule. But the kids, so that's what it is. Now we're going to assume that this barrel is made out of a porous material, such as earthenware, and therefore it will bleed some moisture on the outside of the barrel, or it will intake some moisture from the outside of the barrel, as the case may be, right? So in the case, let's take the case of the peiros. So if it's full of peiros, it will bleed into, and since it's submerged, it will bleed into the barrel, okay? And specifically wine and water, because those are very, what's the word, viscous? It's of a thinner nature.
Viscous would be thicker.
Viscous is thicker, so the opposite of viscous. Obiscus. Anyway, whatever the word is, it will seep through the crack, so to speak. Okay, let's see what it says. So what does it say? And it's really the English over here. And the produce is then found to be moist. The produce is therefore mukshar, right? It's like as if you put water on it. Obviously, it's got to be tofeach amanas lahat fiach, right? In order for something to become mukshar. So based on that Mishnah, if this is the Yagid olav reyo, this Mishnah is going to tell us what the din is in the case of putting the hot bread on top of the cover of the barrel, right? Just like over there in Makshirim, you see that it bleeds through the barrel, so too over here it will also bleed through the barrel. It'll absorb a certain amount of truma, okay?
The truma's in the barrel?
Yep.
And the barrel's submerged in water?
No, our case is it's just a barrel of truma, sealed at the top with a cover. You take a hot bread and put it on top. Our Mishnah was an open barrel, not a sealed barrel. Right? The question of the Gemara was, what is the din if you have a sealed barrel?
So the Gemara is sealed with a porous kind of material, right?
That's Yagid olav reyo that we're talking about, right?
But there are different cases because with the barrels, it's either filled with liquid or it's being submerged in liquid. So the water pressure is pushing it out. Whereas here, if it's on top of this thing, there's nothing.
So that's the next point in the Gemara. We're going to see it right now. That's a good point. So, okay, now those online, did you hear the question? So Dr. Hooper asked that, when you submerge it, there's water pressure that's pushing in on all sides of the barrel, whereas over here, it's below... the surface of the top of the barrel. So why is it similar? So the answer is the next lines of the Gemara. So kamodat amar tamon b'hushi heimashkin nogin b'chavis. This rule is provided it's touching the barrel. V'hocha hushtehiyai nogas b'magufa. Here too, this is going to only be if the wine is filled all the way up to the top, so that it's flush against the cover of the barrel. If settling of contents have occurred, like is happening most of the stuff we buy nowadays, it would not be a problem. If there's an airspace, it would not be a problem. Yep. All right. Again, this is clay covers, clay barrels. If it would obviously be something solid, solid metal, solid wood, it would be no problem at all. And now we're on Amid base, Sonic base, Amid base. Amr Abmana Umino. Let's see. From this very argument, Kemo de Tamar, Bahushi Huma Paris Nogin Bahavasatsma, Avhocha Bahushate Kikur Nagasma Magufa Atsma. So just like we're the only time it was Mukshar is if the Paris were up against the barrel itself. If let's suppose there was a cloth around the barrel or it was wrapped in some other kind of, if there was some kind of layer between the two, it would not work. So to over here, if you had a tablecloth, let's say, draped over the top of the barrel, then obviously would not, the loaf of bread would not, the bottom line is the loaf of bread has to be touching the clay cover itself. Nul say amra afilo betzonenas. Rabbi Yanai's words, let's see, who was Rabbi Yanai again? I just want to go back a second and see who Rabbi Yanai was. He was the one who said, young love. So it was, that was the kasha of the Gemara. Rabbi Zaira, ba'on kumi Rabbi Yanai. So they asked Rabbi Yanai, if you put it on top of the barrel, which had a cover on it, what was the din? So it was Rabbi Yanai who was asked the question, and he answered, Yagad olav reya. Okay. So, Rabbi Yanai's words that the case of bread placed on top of a covered barrel parallels the cases in the Mishnah of the Machshirin say that even when the bread is cold. Wow.
Because the barrel case.
The Machshirin case, there was nothing hot there. It was just cold and cold. So here too, even if the thing is cold, that's a pella, right? Because our Gemara, our Mishnah clearly says,
how does it get through the
pas chama, right?
How does it get through the clay if it's cold? It's in a barrel, right?
Well, how did it get through in the case of the Machshirin?
The Machshirin is with the wine?
Machshirin was with water or wine. Well, so
it gets. I think what you have to say is our Mishnah has more bread. Could be talking about where the wine is not all the way up to the top.
Oh, so Abe is saying, look. So Abe is saying that the reason the Mishnah is makbid on hot bread is because it's there's a space between the bread and the wine, so therefore it had to be hot in order for there to be any effect.
But if
there's no space. And it's up against the top of the, and it's touching the cover, then based on the Mishnah Machshirin, it would be absorbing even if it was cold. That's what you have to say, right, Abe? That's what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
Good, very good.
And this is barley or wheat, or it doesn't matter?
We're not going according to Rabbi Yossi now. According to Rabbi Yossi, we're talking about barley. According to Tanakhama, we're talking about any kind. Right? It's Machlokes. Machlokes Tanoim. Okay. Indeed, there was a case that came in front of Rabbi Yanai. There was a Maisa Shahaya with cold, right? And based on this ruling in our Mishnah, he prohibited the bread to the non-Kohanim. Even a cold bread draws wine through the clay cover. All right, Hatnina Kamo, our Mishnah, the Gemara asked the Kasha.
Without any space in the barrel?
Without any space in the barrel, yes.
It's the bread is drawing it out, or since the wine is going to leak through the barrel, it's just going to soak into the bread. It It's not like the bread itself is drawing it out.
Right. Well, I think that will depend on the Tanoim. I think according to Rabbi Yossi, who only ashes it if it's barley, is a little bit of both. I think according to the Tanakam Rav Meir, then it's not really either. I mean, however it works, they're working together. I'll say there's a little leakage and it's drawing it in. The nature of food. Hatina kama, frank the Gemara, it says hot bread. So it sounds, so why does Rabbi Yossi apply the rule even in cold bread? Rav Chisda shalotomar. The Mishnah specifically addressed the case of hot bread, so you should not mistakenly say that since the heat suppresses the wine somewhat, the bread should be permitted for non-Kohanim. In other words, the Gemara is not saying what you said, Abe. Interesting. The Gemara, it's interesting. The Gemara is saying a little different, Teretz. The Gemara is saying that the Mishnah is telling me a chiddush al gabe chiddush. In other words, be'etzem, even a cold bread is awesome. But the Mishnah is telling me an extra chiddush that you might think that because hot bread is emanating heat, so as the energy of the heat of the bread is going outwards, and therefore nothing would be received, right, going inwards, that's a bigger chiddush. So it's telling me a bigger chiddush. Just like, you know, the opposite of what you would think, not necessarily. Okay, Rav Shimon Malakish Aimer, Maya Meisen Paris, or Mashkin Meisen Paris. What is this talking about? That only water renders produce located on the opposite side of the barrel susceptible to Tuma. But other liquids, including wine and wine vinegar, do not render produce on the opposite side of the wall susceptible. So what's going on over here? Rish Lakish is arguing on the Mishnah? Or it doesn't say exactly, I guess it doesn't say necessarily what kind of fluids are in the barrel. So Rish Lakish is being mafarish the Mishnah in Makshirin as talking about only water. Let's see. At this point, footnote 9, the Gemara understands that Shimon Lakish is saying that the produce draws liquid through the porous walls only when the liquid is water. Other liquids are thicker and thus not drawn. Okay, so at this point, the Gemara wants to say Rish Lakish is only talking about water. All right? In fact, the Gemara is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't say it not like Rabbi Yehuda. It says, but this accords only with Rabbi Yehuda. Right. That's right. So it's misleading. Normally, the law means it's not like, but you notice how the translation here says this only works out except according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? Note 10. The law is a contraction of da ela. This is only true according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda holds the bread does not draw wine into itself. He was the middle Tana, right? We had Rabbi Meir said it was Osir, Rabbi Yehuda said it was Mutter. We had Rabbi Yossi said Hachra, right? So the Gemara is saying this thing, or Rish Lakish, saying that the Mishnah in Makshirin is only water and no other type of fluid seems to only go like Rabbi Yehuda. All right? So it's not reflective of the general consensus, right? Let's see. Anything here? Yeah. So in the brackets, it says that it will emerge that Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah,
which brackets?
At the bottom of the page, on footnote 11, that Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah that parallels ours, in other words, by Machshirin, will disagree only concerning wine But respect to water, they would both agree that it's drawn to the bread through the clay cover, rendering it susceptible to tuma. Right? So, in other words, the Gemara is really going all the way with this comparison. That if you hold by our Mishnah, this what he's pointing out here is actually very important. The Mishnah in Makshirin, the fact that you have such a thing as something porous and affecting that which is outside of it, would not work out al pi pshutoi according to Rabbi Yehuda at all. Because let's forget Rosh Lakish for a second, and we're talking about any kind of fluid, wine, water, whatever it is. But our Mishnah says wine does not impact that which is outside the barrel, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So that would mean that Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that Mishnah. So what we're saying now is no. Rosh Lakish is saying there is this middle. There's this common fluid of water that everyone will agree flows through, right? So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir are only going to be arguing by wine. So anyway, the question again is, so this statement of Rosh Lakish seems to only be according to Rabbi Yehuda, of our Mishnah, Elo Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, Mayim Oisim Peres Vachaseirin. Water renders produce, when doing so, decreases in volume. Umashkin Oisim Peres Vachaseirin. Other fluids...
I mean, what does that mean?
I'm not sure yet. One second. And mashkin oisim peres ve'ena chaserin, whereas other liquids render the produce susceptible without decreasing the volume. Let's see, 12. In other words, Rish Lakish conforms with the opinion of a mayor and the anonymous Mishnah. The bread can draw and produce draw not only water but even wine. He does differentiate between the two. When the produce draws water into itself, the volume of the water decreases, whereas when it draws from other liquids, they do not decrease. So therefore what? What's the point here?
There's my mushes from one item in the other item.
I'm not sure I understand what his point then is. So what is the point of Rish Lakish?
If you figure out that no water was missing, then it's not. If you weigh it on a scale before and after, and it's the same, nothing got absorbed.
Take a look at the bracket.
What? What's the consequence? What is the consequence to point this out? If the volume of water did not decrease, the produce remains unsusceptible to tuma. For if the moisture on the produce would, from the water, the volume would increase. So you're telling me you're going to actually measure it, and you're going to see that it did not go down or did go down to determine whether there was action by water, whereas other fluids, it won't go down, so therefore it'll be mukshar even if it didn't go down. That's the point of Rish Lakish.
Yeah.
So what's being mukshar if it didn't go down?
Okay. So apparently it's it doesn't take that much. I'm not sure. That's a good question. I don't know.
It can evaporate without being absorbed.
And it's not going to evaporate in a closed barrel. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer. Accordingly, Rish Lakish is indeed reflective of the general consensus and not of Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ein mashkin oisin peres kol ikar." Other liquids do not render the produce on the other side of the barrel susceptible to tuma at all, right? In other words, according to Rabbi Yehuda, bread and produce that are not capable of drawing any liquid other than water, if produce and other liquid are on the opposite side of the barrel, so they will remain unsusceptible, right? That's what we keep saying. Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah is going to continue to go l'shitasei, and he won't draw the water, he won't draw the wine or other fluids through the barrel. So Rish Lakish assumes the produce is rendered susceptible to Toma, even when all the liquid is on the other side of the barrel, that will only be like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So we kind of went full circle here with Rish Lakish. At first, we thought he was only like Rabbi Yehuda, and now we're saying he's like Rabbi Meir and not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because he, after all, is agreeing that even other fluids will go through the barrel and make it susceptible. He was just saying this kind of funny distinction that one will cause a chasaron, water will be chasaron, but other types of liquids won't. Okay. Now, umad amar Rabbi Yochanan kishayinu hokhalitzer Rabbi Hoshea rabbi lekisum l'mod Tyra, that when they were traveling to Rabbi Hoshea in Caesarea to learn Tyra, hayinu noisnin chem tosenu agavik futim shomoryas, we would place our thin roll on jugs containing fish brine. Okay? And we would taste in it the taste of the fish brine. So, in other words, they're traveling, and they have like some bread, and they want to give the bread a little taste, you know, because I guess it got a little dried out. So they had a trick. They would put it on top of the fish brine container, and it would draw some tom through the container. That's what he's saying, Edus, right? He's saying, Edus, we used to taste it. And the law of Rabbi Yehuda, that's not Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it'll only draw taste from water. It won't draw taste from any other fluids. So this incident evinces. Anybody know what the word evince means? I guess it brings it out. Or maybe it's supposed to be convinces us that even other liquids are drawn by bread. Okay? Mahalimin hayu. That incident, the rolls were cut. So that's the answer to the Gemara. In other words, it's really, you have a kash on Rabbi Yehuda. You don't want Rabbi Yehuda's shita to contradict the Metzias. Rabbi Yehuda's saying it doesn't get drawn out, but he's saying we went traveling and we tasted it. So what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with that? Teretz is that it was cut. The rolls were cut. So if you have cut bread, then it will draw the liquids. All right. Well, you know, according to that, Let's change our Mishnah. You know, I'm thinking about it. In our Mishnah here in Trumas, if you had a cut bread on top of a barrel, so then Rabbi Yehuda would agree that it would be usser. He's only arguing because we're talking about a whole bread. Is that what we're getting out of this Gemara?
You say whole bread, you mean like a loaf?
Yeah.
It's like the onion.
He agrees that bread can draw wine to itself. That's what it sounds like. Anyway, they also mentioned Gazal Bias. How they place the rolls on top of the jugs, aren't you stealing from the owner? Because the fish brine, I guess, is going to go down in volume. So the Gemara says, Noitlan Hayu Roshu Social Bias. They got permission. You see how Zohir they were in the Indian of Gazal. You know, that even a mashahu, let's see, Rav Surliel says, Ain't also Mishum Gazel? Kibbet Shah Yushav in Harmurias, Mikayach, Hahel, Migazelanum, how you might have your own authentic Shumabais. The Gemara says, Let them how you should Shumabais, I can't be Rashi, Sugya, Fianuli is Dati. There's apparently some other Mepharshim over here. Okay, very nice. Adkan, everyone have a good evening. This was DAF 92, and hold on one second, Abe. Let me close this.